But the concept of last week that we worked off of, the commitment was this, that we commit to worship. To worship the Father for all He has given and promised. To worship Christ for all He has accomplished on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit for all He supplies. So we commit to worship God. We acknowledge the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but we make that our commitment. And we talked about that last week. So tonight we're going to look at the commitment of biblical prayer. We're gonna find out what biblical prayer, what a biblical prayer life would look like. What the steps to a prayer life will begin to look like. We're going to kick off one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. One verse. Three words. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Y'all said, man, that was a lot longer than what you just said, wasn't it? Pray without ceasing. Okay? I want you to get in your mind and hear that, because that's what we're going to talk. Now, we're going to go several different directions with this tonight. There it is, see? So you don't think I'm lying to you. There it is on the screen. Pray without ceasing. Somebody said, how in the world can we pray without ceasing? Well, we're going to find out tonight. It doesn't mean that we have to walk, you know, crawl around on our knees 24 hours a day. That's not what he's talking about. But there is a way that we can live a prayerful life. And we can find ourselves in that communication with the Father and with the Lord. And we'll get into that. But the concept tonight that I want you to catch is just that thought. Pray without ceasing. Okay? Now, we've been talking about, and what the Lord has taken, the journey He's taken me on, that I'm now taking you on with me, is we are looking at the people of the Passion. And what that means is the people around the time of the death of Christ. And we are looking from the garden. We're going to be in the garden a little bit tonight, through the resurrection to the day of Pentecost. And we're looking at the people and how they began to interact with Christ in those moments. And we're going to learn something about a prayer life. We're going to learn from that, and we're going to learn from the Lord's Prayer tonight. Okay, so we're going to put those things together, and I really think we're going to walk away from here with some concepts that we can apply in our life. The first question that we have to ask, though, about biblical prayer is, why is it so important that we pray? A lot of people probably do not come to the place of biblical prayer in their life, or they don't find themselves at that place where they consider their prayer life truly a biblical prayer life, because they just don't understand why it is so important. Because a lot of people feel like prayer is reserved for crisis. Okay, a lot of people, that prayer only becomes necessary when there's a crisis. There's a purpose for prayer when there's a crisis. Anybody say amen to that? Right? I mean, when something's going bad, you got, all of a sudden, you just found a reason to pray. Right? And so therefore you pray. You cry out to God. Now people all do it all in different ways. I mean, some people, you know, it's a crisis and they're just bellowing out to the Father in that moment because it's a crisis moment in their life. But crisis seems to be the moment that we connect with prayer the most, because it seems to be more purposeful in that moment. Okay, and crisis could be anything. It could be a personal crisis, crisis on behalf of others, whatever the case might be. But if that is the only time we find a purpose for prayer, we will never have a biblical prayer life. Now, does God hear those kind of prayers? Absolutely. God hears everything you say to Him. God hears everything you say, period. God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. Amen. Now, that can be comforting and fearful all at the same time. Right? Because there have been some times I have prayed and I said, now God, I really messed up, but You know my heart. And that scripture was comforting, you know, that He knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And then there's been other times that's been real fearful, because I've thought to myself, oh Lord, you know the thoughts of my heart, right? That's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Depending on which side you come down on that. But he knows everything. But so he hears you when you pray. Okay, even if the only time you ever pray is crisis. Some people, the only time for purposeful prayer is found at meals and at bedtime. Right? I mean, you know, they pray over their meal, and usually you got the rehearsed prayer, you know, right? What is it? Round the teeth, through the gums. Look out, Lord, here it comes, or something like that. I don't know what yours is, but you go. Yes. We find purpose in prayer because, well, we should bless our food. And, well, we probably need, just before we go to sleep at night, we probably need to repent in case we die in our sleep or the Lord comes back, you know. We want to make sure that we're ready. And so we find purpose in those moments. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. So that's something different than the purpose that we have found. So why is it important to pray? Well, let's look at kind of what prayer is first. Things that I want to tell you in this point of this message of why we pray. We pray because prayer is recognizing, it's recognition of God. When we pray, we are recognizing God for who He is. And that's one thing that makes prayer so important, is because it is a recognition that God is greater than us. Amen. Would everyone in here agree with that? God is greater than us. So when we pray, we are recognizing that fact, because we are submitting ourselves unto the one that we are recognizing is greater than us. Okay? So that gives us a purpose for prayer. And not only that, but prayer is communication with that one that is greater than us. So not only are we recognizing God is greater and submitting to Him and turning to Him with our life and with our being and with everything that we are, then we are given the opportunity through prayer to communicate with Him. Some people never get to that place in their prayer life. The third thing about prayer is petition. Okay? We are pretty good when we pray to recognize God for being God. And we are pretty good at making our petitions known. But we are not so good on the communication part of prayer. Because how many of you know, and if you don't know this, you definitely need to come to the workshop. But communication is two ways. It's not communication if there's only one voice talking. Right? Yeah. That's not communication. Now, some of y'all have thought that was communication, and that's not communication. That's just you regurgitating words. True communication is when not only are you speaking, but you are listening. Amen. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to get on the marriage side of that. I'm talking about with God. Communication, it's not just you making petitions to Him, although that's a part of prayer. But you should also have time in your prayer life that you are listening. See, here is how you begin to understand how to pray without ceasing. Because here's people say, well, how can I pray without ceasing? What would I say for all that time? But you don't understand communication. It's not just about you talking. It's about you listening. Amen. As I've grown over the years in my prayer life, and I'm not there yet, don't claim to be there yet, but I've grown a long way from where I started. And one thing I have learned, the longer I go in this and the more knowledge I gain about my prayer life, I find myself listening for God more than I'm talking to God. He might say, well, I've never heard God speak to me. I'm not saying He's going to speak in an audible voice. But He will speak peace into your life if you'll listen. That right in the midst of your turmoil, He'll give you peace. Do you know that's prayer? That's communication. He just communicated peace into your situation. How many believe that's pretty good when that happens? When you're down, if you will listen for God, He'll communicate joy into your life. Amen. See, we think, well, if I don't hear an audible voice, you may never hear an audible voice, but you can communicate with God and you can listen for Him. You can read His Word and listen for what He's saying to you. Not just reading it as a history lesson, but communicating with God. What are you saying to me in this? Amen. That's a part of prayer, because prayer has three components. Remember this. Prayer has three components. Recognition. So you recognize God is greater than you. Petition. Make your petitions known. Ask. Put out there. James says, you have not because you ask not. And then he said, and sometimes you ask, but you ask amiss. You ask wrongly because you just want to consume whatever you're asking upon your own lust. So you're not going to get what you're asking for in that time. But there's recognition, there's petition, but it's communication, thirdly. And communication, that means you're not having to talk all the time. God wants to communicate with you. You see how that changes the dynamic of pray without ceasing? Absolutely. How many of you have known? Let me cue this the right way. And everybody look straight ahead. Don't look around. Don't turn your head to the right or to the left when I say this. But how many of you have known of other families that have people in their families? Not any here at River Life, but other families have people in their families that the only time they hear from them is when they need something from them. Eyes straight forward. Right? That there's no other communication. And you know how it is when you get the call from that person? Do you see what I just did? I just told my age. Do you see what I just did? When we get the call, do you see how that isn't how we get calls anymore, is it? Yeah, I could dial like that, I guess, yeah. And now it's, so. I might have changed my hand gestures, I guess. I'm getting too old, I think. I don't know. The only time you get the call and you see it and you think, you might even answer with, well, what do you want? Come on now. But do you know that's how we do God? A lot of times that's what our prayer life is. Now, I trust God is not like us. And when you call out to Him, He's not up there going, amen. He hits the reject button. Yeah, there you go. He rejects that call, right? Yeah, He doesn't do that, thankfully. He listens, but there's more to prayer than that. There needs to be communication, and you need to listen because God wants to speak. So that the pray without ceasing concept has to be understood properly, or else it's daunting and we can't even imagine how we could do it. But it does not involve you talking all the time. It involves you listening more than you talk. I've heard preachers say all my life, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Right? So, yeah, yes. No, the Lord's voice sounds like Veronica's too. You know, it's amazing how God could do that. For those of you that miss that, Pastor Carter said, God's voice sounds a whole lot like Marilyn's to him, you know. And my wife's the same way. But listen twice as much as you're talking. That's just a good start. Right? Ask Him what? That's exactly right. That's biblical too, isn't it? So be listening. So in this concept, just as we get started in this prayer without ceasing, to change your prayer life, learn to listen. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. Yes. Yes. Sure. Well, we learned in the last workshop, one of the five love languages is quality time. And now sometimes, not all the time, this is not a cop-out for those of you that this is the one that your spouse uses, but sometimes you don't. It's not about talking. It's just about being there together. Just the comfort of being together. I have found lots of times of comfort with God just to be in His presence. Don't have to say anything. May not even be hearing anything. I'm just in His presence. It's just quality time. There are sometimes, well, I'll turn. See, I have the advantage of being the pastor. I can turn the worship music on. I can come right down here and I can sit right down there. And there's sometimes I'll just turn it on and I'll just sit there. It's just quality time. It's praying without ceasing. So when you begin to understand that, you begin to see how your prayer life can change. It moves you away from this concept of, well, I'm going to try to pray 30 minutes today. Right? I'm going to try to pray. And if you pray an hour a day, my, you're like in the top, you're like in the top 1.001% of people that pray. And man, we're really accomplished. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. So you got to understand there's got to be a different concept. We have to get there. So we got to listen. So we have to recognize God. The times we recognize God, do you know you can recognize God in all sorts of things? And that's a part of your prayer life. You can recognize God in the beauty of the of nature. And when you recognize God and you're thanking Him for that, that's a part of your prayer life. And make your petitions known and you communicate. You listen. So that's the first thing I want to say. Now, I want to get into this concept. How do we pray? They asked Jesus that. Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something in His prayer life that they wanted. Amen. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're gonna find out some things that they said. Now, I want you to turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. That's going to be the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to hold your finger there. Matthew chapter, or if you're using your device, just get ready to go there. But where we're going to start on this how to pray is in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And in verse 36. Go there with me. The first person of the passion that we're going to encounter in this concept of what a prayer life, a prayer without ceasing life would look like and the steps that it's going to take to get there is found in Matthew 26. Beginning at verse 36, it's the prayer in the garden. Okay? Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." Notice the words. "Sit here." Notice this. "While I go and pray over there." There's something significant about that. Okay. "And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," Peter, James, and John. "And He took the three away from the others, pulled them a little farther out and set them down. And He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then He said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' And He went a little farther." They stayed. So you got the first group, then you got Peter, James, and John. In the first group, He said, "You stay here while I go and pray. Peter, James, and John, now you stay here and watch with me." And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible," and I'm not demeaning this, it's just not my focus tonight, "let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." And He came to the disciples, found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Remember, the command was watch with me. "While I go over and pray, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He does that again, does it again. We know the story from there. Comes back, they're sleeping. He says, "Sleep on, the time is at hand." But I want to take this concept and I want to look at the people of the passion. They're with Him in the garden. He says, "Sit here while I go pray. The three of you come, sit right here, watch with me." Because watching is a part of praying. Being alert, being aware. That's a beginning place. Because the first step He tells them is watch with me. I'm going to go pray. But then when He comes back, they're sleeping, they're not watching. So here, listen now. He knows they're not praying because they weren't first watching. They were sleeping. So he knows they're not praying because they're not aware. Amen. So this idea of how to pray begins in the garden. In the garden was a place of pressure and a place of release. Okay, that's this garden. That's really what the garden was all about. That garden of Gethsemane. It was that garden where the olives would be pressed and there would be a release. And this garden was about a pressure and a release. That's this time of their life that they were in. In the garden of pressure and release, we find them. And what do you do? In those moments, you need to be aware. It's time to watch. Watch what Jesus is doing. Watch and then pray. Watch, but you start with watch, time to watch, okay? So hear this. This is the beginning place. So this pray without ceasing concept begins with watching, with being aware and alert. This one concept will change your prayer life. If you will consciously find time, and in times of pressure and in times of release, when things are changing and transition, you need to even be more alert to what's happening, what God is doing. Be looking for what the Lord's doing. He told him, sit while I go pray. And then he said, now watch with me. So you see what I'm doing. So you see what's in the time of pressure. If you're going to learn to pray without ceasing, how many of you have ever had pressure times in your life? See, in those moments, you need to focus and you need to be aware of what God's trying to do, not just the situation that is around you. So they're learning here. This is a teaching moment of a life that would be the life of prayer in Christ that prays without ceasing. And so when times are full of pressure and times are full of transition, then we need to be watching for what the Lord is doing. If you will begin to practice that, your prayer life will change. When you feel the pressure of life or you're going through the transition of life, rather than fall apart, rather than worry, rather than fret, the first thing you need to do, even before you begin to talk in prayer, is watch to see what the Lord is doing. Let me ask this question. Maybe this will drive it home a little bit better. How many of you have ever had pressure times of life, transition times of life, and you begin what we call praying? And you begin telling Lord, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I believe needs to happen. Anybody but me been there? If you've done that, raise your hand. This is what I'm expecting, this is what I'm seeing, this is what you said. We're making our petitions known. How many of you ever found out that once you go through that and God begins to move in those situations? How many of you have found out that the things you were first praying about was not the direction God wanted you to go in that moment? You know why? Because you entered into a moment of prayer without being aware of what the Lord was doing. Let me put it this way. You entered into the moment of petition without being aware of what the Lord was trying to do. So if in those moments, you will begin to be aware. You'll come into the moment with your eyes open, your spirit ready, and say, Lord, what are you wanting to show me? What are you wanting to teach me? What would be your purpose through this? What could you do in this moment? What could teach me in this moment? What could I walk out of this moment with? I'm looking to you. I'm watching you. How many believe you would pray different prayers at times if you would have went into it that way? So therefore, the point number one as to how to pray is in the garden of pressure, the garden of transition, the garden of release. The first thing you need to do is you need to be alert to what the Lord is doing around you. That'll keep you from wasting a lot of words. and putting false expectation in directions that may not even be the Lord's plan in the first place. Jesus says, don't be like the heathen and pray vain repetition. You know what they do? They're not watching for what their God's going to do. They don't think their God's going to communicate with them. You know what they do? They just start regurgitating words, formulas, statements. They're not looking to see what their God is doing or saying or listening or being alert. They're just praying. The Hindu religion, they've got the prayer wheel. Right? And they just go and they just spin the prayer wheel. But that's not prayer. They're not looking. They're not alert. They're not aware. So hear this. Now, I told you, put your finger in Matthew 6, but let's go back there now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. I'm just going to, George, I'll let you pull that up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Because they came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. And so here's where Jesus starts. In this manner, therefore, pray. Look at the first thing that he says to them. The first thing he says to them is, here's how you begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's not about the formula. Nothing wrong with the formula. You repeat the Lord's Prayer, that's great. That's great, but it's not about the formula. Here's the concept. Look, I just told you, he told them, here's how you come into these moments of prayer. You come in alert, you come in aware, you come in watching for what the Lord is doing, watching for what God, come into to set an environment of seeing what God is doing. Jesus said, sit here and watch me. Before you pray, watch. So Jesus teaches them and he says, now this, you want to know how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the first thing that he teaches them is that same principle. That the first thing you need to do is you need to watch. Recognize God. In heaven. See, you're tuning your focus. You're tuning in to the spirit realm. Before you're making any petition. Now, this will bring a whole new light to Scripture when it says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That doesn't mean hover off the ground, 2 foot in the air in the Spirit, in some trance. That means walk full of the Spirit. Walk with your focus in the Spirit kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. My focus when I enter into prayer, how I begin to pray will matter as to how I live a life of prayer. How you enter into the moments of communication with God will determine how you receive from God. If you enter in looking to Him first, recognizing Him first above your need, above your want, above your desire, you're seeing what He's doing in this moment. You're entering in to this life of prayer in a spiritual mindset that then you can hear God more clearly. So, times of pressure, times of transition, times of release, times that you're coming, you got to learn to watch, you got to learn to look to Him. And so teach us to pray, Lord. And He says, here's how you begin. Now, let's go to the next thing. Go with me to John. Keep your finger in Matthew 6. Go with me to John chapter 20. Because now we're going to take the next step. So we start by a time to watch, looking to God. Focusing. The next thing we find is in John 20 and verse 11. It's resurrection morning now. The garden scene is past. The night, the pressing, the transition, the difficulty is past that way. And now it's resurrection morning. John chapter 20 and verse number 11. But Mary Mary Magdalene stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. It wasn't there anymore. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." This causes people to miss out on their prayer life because they feel like the Lord has moved and they can't find him. Come on now. Have you ever uttered the statement, "I just don't feel like God's there"? Isn't that the same statement Mary just made? He was here. We laid him in this tomb. But now we come in and he's not there. I don't know where he's at. Okay. Well, let's just carry on a little bit here. "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. They moved him, and I don't know where he's at." And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, thinking he was the gardener, said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," rabbi, which is a teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now go, look at the communication. Now go, see, Jesus is communicating with, she doesn't know where they've laid him, so now she can't communicate with him. She doesn't know what to do. But Jesus starts talking to her and gives her an assignment. Okay? So the first step is to watch. See what God's doing. The first step to prayer is to see what God is. Come into a mindset of the Spirit. Come into a spiritual mindset. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. The second thing, this on resurrection morning, in the overwhelming moment, in the moment that you just can't get past, this prayer time, it's time to believe. So, prayer, how do we pray? There must be a time to watch at the beginning to see what God's doing. Come into a spiritual mindset. Get your eyes upon the Lord. See what His plan is. See what He's doing. Recognize Him. Our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. My focus now is turned. But the second thing about prayer is, for this communication and this prayer life without ceasing to be effective, then you have to believe. You'll never effectively communicate with God if you can't believe. If you keep thinking He's not there, you'll quit communicating with Him. Some people quit praying because they don't know if He's there or not. They feel like, you ever felt like your prayers just hit the ceiling and ricocheted all around and didn't go anywhere? Some people quit praying because they just think He's not there. To pray without ceasing, there will be a time to believe. So you've got to watch, but then you've got to believe. Okay? Now, back to Matthew 6. Go to verse 9. We're going to go back and forth here a little bit because we're looking at these people of the Passion. And Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. "In this manner, therefore, pray our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Go to the next verse with me. Lord, "Your kingdom come." Your kingdom come. You might say, how does that tie together? Because there's belief in that statement. Because you're praying, "Father, your kingdom come." He's going to go on to say, you know, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come. But do you see the belief? Do you see the faith? Jesus is teaching them how to pray. The people of the Passion are walking through this. They start in the garden where they need to learn to watch. That begins the process. But then on resurrection morning, it looks like Jesus isn't there. They see he's gone, but now Mary is saying, where have they moved him to? I don't know where he's at. How can I, what can I do now? Nothing I can do. And so he speaks to her and she has to believe. She sees it's him and now she can believe. When you can watch and see what God is trying to do, then you can believe and put your faith in him. I'm talking about a prayer life that prays without ceasing. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I believe you've got a kingdom. And I believe you want to bring it to me. I believe. Some of us pray like we don't believe. The thief did it. Yeah, the thief did it too. He shows faith. Yeah, without doubt. You got to believe. So this is the concept of prayer. So you're watching, coming into a spirit of a spiritual attitude, looking to see what God, recognizing God, looking to see what Jesus is doing. And then you have to believe as he begins to commune with you. You believe for his kingdom. This is the resurrection, resurrected Lord. He said, now don't cling to me. I haven't ascended to the kingdom yet. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. So don't cling to me right now. But I'm talking to you. She's believing now. So your kingdom come. We're tying this together because I see them walking on a journey, teaching them how to commune with the Lord and with God on a continual basis. And we got to learn to do the same thing. So you start with watching, and then you've got to move to believing. Put your faith in Christ. Have faith in him. Okay? Your kingdom come. Now, number three. Just right there in John 20 with me. Down to verse 19. We ended at verse 18. Verse 19, they take another step. The same day, at evening, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear. They're afraid. Fearful of the Jews, of what man's going to do to them. And Jesus came and stood in the midst. He just shows up. And he says to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands inside. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Watch this. They saw the Lord. They believed it was him because they saw him. And he said, peace is yours. The third thing about prayer that gives you the ability to pray without ceasing is not only do you watch, not only do you believe, but then you receive. If you're going to pray without ceasing, you have to learn to not only be a believer, but to be a receiver. Amen. Amen. You got to learn to receive. And so that was great. They had an amazing time, but Thomas wasn't there. And so Thomas shows up in verse 24, and they're all saying, Jesus was here. And he said, I don't believe it. They said, we've seen the Lord. See, when you don't come in with the right mindset, you're not going to believe what he's trying to give to you. Okay? And so he said, well, you may have seen him, but unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into those prints and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. But if I see him, I'll believe. And after 8 days, they were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time, and Jesus came, and the doors were shut, and he just stood in the midst, and look, he says the same thing. Peace to you. Amen. And now Thomas is there this time, and Jesus said, peace to you, because, and he said to Thomas, now, hey, he wasn't there when he was saying this, but he was there. Amen. And he said, hey, go ahead, here's the nail prints. Your side, go ahead, and you were talking big. Stick your fingers there. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here's the key. Here's the key. Because when what we have to see now to believe is faith. We see what Christ has done. We see His Word. We see His presence. We experience His goodness. And then we can believe. And then when we believe, we can receive what He has for us. I hope this is okay with you, because go back to Matthew 6 with me, George, verse number 10. We'll finish that verse up, because he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now I'm going to recognize God. I'm going to see what He's doing first. Then I'm going to believe, because His kingdom can come. I'm going to put my faith in that kingdom, in Christ, the King of the kingdom. And then what I'm asking for is your will to be done on earth so I can receive it as it is in heaven. I can receive your plan. I can receive your purpose. Because I've come into this moment of communication right in a spiritual mindset. And I believed in you, your kingdom. And now I can receive your will. Amen. I hope this will tie together and help you here in just a few minutes. And I'm just trudging through here. And I've got two more and I'm done. And I'll go quickly. In John 21, all the way at the end, verse 15. I'm not going to read it all. They went back to fishing. The disciples have. Jesus shows up. He told them to cast their net in. They caught a big catch of fish. And when Peter realized it was the Lord, he come running to the shore and the others followed him. And in verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you? And he said, you know I do. And then he said again, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. And he said, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. And feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. Three times Peter denied him at the cross, on his way to the cross. But here on the shore of restoration, three times Peter acknowledges the Christ that he loves. Let me just push through this and you'll catch it. The concept I want you to see in this is this. When you watch for what God's doing and you believe in Him and His kingdom and Christ, and then you receive His will in your life and you're ready to accept that, then He'll give you the word and it'll be time to go forward from your past. And all this happens in prayer. God will begin to move you forward. He'll begin to point you forward. He won't let you wallow in your past. If you're living a life of prayer, you won't wallow in your past. Okay, Matthew 6, I'm just gonna rehearse it for you. Matthew 6, you can go back and find it. Matthew 6, the next statement is, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Give us this day our daily bread. As we walk forward, give us daily what we need to go forward. And as we forgive them, you forgive us. We're walking forward. Because the concept, a prayer life, a biblical prayer life, will always now point you forward. Peter's communing with Christ now, and he restores him from a failed past, and he gives him words to go forward with. And the last thing, and I'll close with this. In Acts 1, followers of Pentecost are gathered, and he tells them, you go and you tarry. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. As you begin to move forward daily, Communing with the Father, with your daily bread, receiving the words you need to move forward. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. As you're moving forward in those daily words to go forward, then the next thing that begins to happen is you begin to walk into a destined future. And Jesus, teaching them to pray in Matthew 6, ends it by saying, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever." Don't lead us into temptation. Lead us by your Spirit. The Bible says that if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All this is connected to a prayer life. Because what is prayer? What were the three things? Acknowledge God. You make your petitions known. And you communicate. And as you do this, and you watch for Him, you come in with the right mindset. You come in to see what He's doing, see what He could be up to. And then you believe, your kingdom come. I'm activating faith. I've seen you, now I'm activating faith. And then you become a receiver. I receive your will be done on earth. These are earth suits made of the earth. Let your will be done on the earth. On the dirt as it is in heaven. I'm receiving your will now. I've come the right way. I'm believing. Now I'm receiving. And then he continues to trudge and he says, and now he will say, now go forward. Give us our day, this day, our daily bread. Let me walk with you daily as I walk with you, and forgive me my debts as I forgive others. And then we walk to a destined future where the Spirit leads us into power and glory and the kingdom. Come on. Now let me bring it together and we'll close your feet with me and we'll pray. So therefore, I can make sure this is how I'm approaching life. An attitude of prayer. I'm watching, believing, receiving, moving forward with daily communication, and walking into a destined future. And I'm doing this constantly. I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm communicating, I'm making petitions known, I'm acknowledging. I'm just living my life this way. When do you pray? At all times. As you live, you pray. In fact, for a believer, living in Christ in actuality becomes communication. And so you're praying without ceasing because I'm living in Him. Here's our commitment. George, throw it up there as we end this tonight. Here it is. We commit to prayer. Our communication life with God through the name of Jesus and directed by the Spirit. This is prayer. We commit to prayer. What does that mean? 30 minutes a day? No. We commit to our communication life with God. Watching, listening, speaking, living. Through the name of Jesus, directed by the Holy Spirit. I want you to say these four things with me, and then we'll pray. This is the prayer life. This is what it is. This is the communication life with God through the name of Jesus and directed by the Spirit. Ready? I'm watching. I'm believing. I'm receiving. And I'm living. If those four aspects are in your life daily, you will pray without ceasing. Because your life becomes a prayer before God. Amen. Now, doesn't Romans chapter 12? Got to get your mind right. But listen, verse 1 though says in Romans 12, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. If you're going to pray without ceasing, that's reasonable. You present your body a living sacrifice. So live. Come on now. All right. Here it is. Let's just pray. I hope you've learned something tonight. I hope you can walk away with something. I hope you can check those four areas of your life